Welcome, another episode of This Open House. I am your host, David Guthrie.
And I am Rebecca Guthrie.
And we are real estate agents with Long Realty Company in Tucson, Arizona. And we've got a couple things on the docket today that we're going to get into. So why don't we just jump right in?
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, so what are we talking about this morning?
We are going to give you a little bit of an update on the market, and we are going to then talk about disclosures. Last week, we spent a lot of time talking about inspections that we recommend buyers should do. And this week, we're going to be talking about disclosures that need to happen by the seller.
Yeah, first a little bit about our market. Right now, in our MLS, there are 1,938 homes, to be exact, active, meaning they're available to purchase. And when we look back on a rolling 12-month cycle, calculating all the closed, we've closed 19,804 homes. And at this point in time, when we kind of gauge, going back 7 to 12 months, your median sales price was at $227,000. In the current 3 months, it's up to 245.
Wow.
It's actually a 7.9% increase in values here. And we all know what's been going on the last couple of months. So that's really impressive as to what Tucson's doing. I'd love to think what it would be like if it was a normal life without all the masks and all the restaurants closed. What would our...
Well, I'm going to push back on that just a little bit.
Really?
I am.
Okay.
Because I would argue that one of the reasons that we're having such a big increase is because we're having so many people leave the bigger, more densely populated per square mile places like New York and LA and San Francisco, and they're coming here. I mean, we've got lots and lots and lots of out-of-state people coming, and I don't know that that would necessarily be happening the way that we're seeing it if it weren't for COVID-19.
That is a good point. Tucson was getting some pretty good national attention.
It's
some great food, great mountains,
great
weather.
In 2019, we were getting great, you know, top 10 places to move, but I think that part of it is that the house, the cost of living here is lower, relatively speaking, than most of the places on the coasts. And, but
not
I also think that there is part of that too, is that there was very little, I mean, you can see it on the stats of, you know, the big, huge dip, and then it goes right back up. It's like a V when you look at it.
Right.
So.
Right. And that doesn't even take into account all of the people who are sitting here and like, all right, I need that home office.
Right.
I need that schoolies place.
Yeah.
I need a bigger yard. I need that pool because, you know, I'm paying $200 a month for my homeowners association that's supposed to have two pools, but none of them are open.
Right.
So we've got to do something about this.
But it is a big increase.
It is a big, big increase. And right now, you know, before that, we were getting about 99% a list. When we look at our National Association of Realtors compiling data from across the country, you know, homes on average are getting about 97% of list, which is still pretty decent.
Of
the list price, yes. And right now, our data is showing 100%. So this is the market of multiple offers,
yes,
escalation clauses, where buyers are having to be aggressive. I'm just glad I'm not an appraiser right now.
Yeah.
Like appraisers are having a really, really tough time right now. And feel free, if you're an appraiser, feel free to call in. We'd love to talk to you about what you're facing and what you're seeing. Number here is 520-790-2040. That's 520-790-2040.
Or if you have a question.
And jumping over to the other side of our market stats, average three-bedroom home, that's still $1,400 a month. That's what you're going to be paying. And what
for rentals.
Yeah, for rent. We know that you're going to be increasing that year over year because rents are not going to go down. They're going to continue to go up here. Meanwhile, your average three-bedroom home sales price is sitting at about $233,900. Average 30-year fixed mortgage, 2.99%, just took a little dip. And when you've got a 20% down loan, PITI, principal, interest, tax, and insurance payment, you're looking at about $1,046. So the difference between renting versus buying in this market right now is about 33%. And that is fixed for 30 years.
Right.
You can then go take that and rent that house 3, 5, 10 years from now.
To renters, there are costs that homeowners carry that renters do not. You know, if you're a homeowner and your dishwasher breaks, you're not calling your landlord and saying, fix this. You're figuring out how to fix it. So there are costs.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But there are costs. There are also benefits, because renters don't get any of the tax benefits that homeowners do.
No, and that number is not even factored in. When I say 1,046, you know, if you've got a 20% tax bracket, mm-hmm. what tax savings are you having? That's a couple hundred bucks a month you're going to be deducting there. But so that's the market. It's a healthy market. It is a fast moving market. And because of that, I think buyers, they're being careful.
Yes.
And they have a lot of questions. There's a lot of things we need to know. And even though it is a solid seller's market, where you could pretty much just put your sign out and you've got 10, 20, one of our agents at our company had over 70 offers, 7-0 on a house. That's just insane.
But to be fair, you have to price the house well. You know, if the house is worth, let's for say $100,000 and you price it at $200,000, just putting a sign up, that doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
It still has, the houses still have to be priced well.
Right. And we've all seen a couple of those homes that are going to be sitting here. And, you know, that leads me to one stat that I forgot about: 12 days on market. That is your average time between when a home is active on the MLS to when we get a contract and it changes status to active contingent or active Kappa with a contingent sale or any of these other statuses.
So why don't you
12 days. If it's sitting 20, 30, 45, 60 days, maybe there is something wrong.
Right, there's something, but price fixes pretty much everything.
Yeah, I do want to make a disclaimer though, because, you know, in the over 800 price point, when you're dealing with luxury, that is a different beast.
Yes.
Different days on market. And also, we are finding that sometimes in the very low price point, you know, 150 and below, under $100,000 condos and co-ops and these kind of things, those can sometimes sit for a little while, we are seeing. But anyhow, anything to add to that?
I don't think so. So I think we should head over to disclosures. So let's start off with David. What is a disclosure and why does it matter?
Oh, well, a disclosure is a seller or buyer, for that matter's insurance policy. There are disclosures that we must do as buyers. We must do as sellers. We also need to do as agents too. You know, us real estate agents prefer to ensure that these disclosures do come from their proper sources. So mold, for example, you know, seller had a really bad leak in a house and they went and took care of it. You know, they took care of it well. They had all the proper certifications done, remediation certificates taken, saying, "Hey, we got all of the mold, the fungal growth out of the house, and here's your certificate," and that sort of thing. This still needs to be disclosed
so
to the buyer.
So let's define what a disclosure actually is. Like, when we say disclosure, what do we mean? What is a disclosure?
Well, a disclosure is letting a party know about something that is materially important to them. Meaning, if I found out about information that you had when I was buying your house, would that impact how much money I'm willing to give you for your house? Would that impact if I want your house at all? If the answer is yes, then that needs to be disclosed. Flipping that on the other end, if I'm a buyer, you're a seller, and I'm coming to purchase your property, would the fact that I didn't have a down payment impact how you view me as a buyer? Or maybe that I just got word that my job is no longer going to be available. It's not quite official yet, but it's coming down the pipeline. We all know that. Those kinds of things that impact people's decision-making process as they're buying and selling homes is what we're talking about here.
So in terms of disclosures, how do those get handled in a real estate transaction?
Well, typically,
if I'm a seller, how do I handle disclosing about my house?
Well, we've got a number of ways. Always, we prefer in writing. Disclosures need to be in writing so that they can be backed up, substantiated, and there's no hearsay here. We do have a form that our Realtor Association has put out that helps people do that. It is called the Seller Property Disclosure Statement. And that's a really easy way for sellers to make disclosures, but it really still doesn't cover everything. We have sellers who go and take the extra time, make a Word doc that could be a couple of pages long, that go in and explain in more detail the things that they know about their property.
So in summing up, disclosures are pertinent information that is going to impact the decision that you make about whether or not you're going to select a buyer or select a house, depending on what side of the transaction you are.
Correct. And it's always actually a really good thing, especially from the seller's perspective. One, it's an insurance policy. We know that if I let the buyers know about the house that I'm selling and they go through their inspections and they close on the transaction, that they're not going to be coming back saying, well, I didn't know. No, you didn't. And I told you about it. And so that's a really good thing. I sum it up as when you're buying that used car and you know, it was only driven to church on Sundays and the guy's got, you know, a binder full of maintenance records on this thing, you're going to walk away feeling really good about that car. It's the same with the house. We know houses are going to have issues.
So when we come back, we're going to head into a break. When we come back from the break, we are going to continue talking about disclosures. And if you have any questions, feel free to call in at 790-2040. Catch you on the other side.
Are you interested in the real estate market? What does low inventory actually mean? Funny, real-life real estate stories and things you should never do if you're looking to buy or sell a home. Join me, David Guthrie, and my wife, Rebecca Guthrie. We are full-time real estate agents with the Hacienda Group at Long Realty Company for this open house on Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. on 1030 The Voice, where we will discuss all this and more. That's this open house on Saturdays at 11 on 1030 The Voice.
And welcome back to this open house with me, Rebecca Guthrie, and my husband, David Guthrie. And right now we are talking about disclosures. We spent the first part of the show talking about what a disclosure is, and now we're going to get into some more nitty gritty. So, David, let's say that I am a buyer and okay. I am making an offer on a house that has come back on the market. So the first, I am buyer number two. So the first buyer got through the inspection period and for whatever reason decided that they didn't want the house, but they have all the inspections and now I'm coming in. And before I do all of my inspections, I want to have access to the first buyers. I'm buyer number two. I want first buyer number one's inspections. Can I have those?
Well, first of all, let me be psychic here. In your brain, you saw this property go back on the market. Your first thought was,
there's something wrong with this house.
What's wrong with this house?
I did not think that there was something with the buyer. I thought it was something with the house.
Right. And in this marketplace, there could be a whole host of things that could happen that create an environment where a property will go back on the market. We're not just talking about the inspection went bad and there's all kinds of things behind there. You know, a buyer could have lost their job. There could have been a divorce with a buyer mid-escrow. There could have been a contingent sale where the buyer needs to sell their home in order to purchase this one. That actually has the problem. It has nothing to do with this house. So,
and all of the things David mentioned are all things that we have dealt with.
They do happen. So with respect to the question of, you know, our buyers in our office, they want to know what's wrong with the house and you know, was there another inspection report? Are there some other things here? You know, I think as a buyer, it would be really nice to know what did that report say?
Right.
That would be a great thing. And as a buyer's representative, that would also be a really great thing to know so that we can negotiate understanding a lot of these issues up front. However, there's a big however here. One, that inspection does not belong to this other buyer.
To buyer number two.
Buyer number two. Let's say that the inspector missed something big. They went through and they forgot to check this one outlet that ended up being really important to this particular buyer. And that led to an electrical issue that could cost thousands of dollars. There is no recourse there for this buyer. And so we do not want any buyer relying on an inspection from another buyer, okay? So that's the first issue. The second issue is, even if the inspection that the seller has possession of because the contract allows it, even if that inspection occurred a week ago, what could have happened between then and now?
A hurricane could have hit.
The AC could not be working. There could be all kinds of things that are going on with that house that could create a situation where, you know, it's decent information, but it's not something that we want to replace your inspection as a buyer. We want to make sure you do all of your same inspections. So it could be a decent starting point. The way I handle it as a buyer's agent is it's nice to ask, but the seller does not have to provide that. That is not something that they have to do. However, it is that inspection from that previous buyer did raise some issues. There were things that we know the seller was not aware of. And those things really should be addressed on the seller disclosure statement that we were talking about before the break.
You're saying that the seller disclosure statement should be updated based on buyer number one's inspection, what it figured out that there are
correct.
Now new disclosures. So the seller should expect to update the SPDS, the seller property disclosure, when they give it to buyer number two.
Correct. That is the best practice. That way the disclosure comes from the seller and we can go ahead and then move forward with the buyer's inspections with this new inspector, new buyer, what have you.
So when we talk about material facts, when we're advising our clients, what do we advise them that are material? Because we don't know. We're not psychic.
Well,
it'd be nice if we were, but we're not.
Not only
are
we not psychic, we don't fully know what could be material from one buyer to a next. You know, some buyers may have very, very, very different needs and different things that could come up that could make something material. So really, all I can say is it goes beyond the scope of this radio show here, is that we need to have a detailed consultation with each and every client. Make sure we address a lot of those issues in person together, because every single transaction is different.
It's true.
Every single buyer is different. There's a lot of overlapping things, but this is something that's nuanced. So, moving on to, I think, some fun personal stuff. You know, Rebecca and I, we're real people.
Yes, we are.
We have emotions. We have lives. We have dreams and goals. You know, we have a wonderful family. Just celebrated 10 years of marriage here by God's grace. Very, very, very blessed. Have three beautiful, beautiful children. And, you know, we are living, I would call it the American dream. You know, we are living the dream, and it is a great life. I couldn't ask for a better one. And, you know, right now as we are making decisions for our family, and we're looking at things that we need to do, Rebecca and I decided right now what is best for our family is our growing family. You know, kids are getting bigger, and our house that worked when we first got married is getting smaller.
Well, it's not getting smaller, but as the bodies in them get bigger, it feels smaller.
Yeah.
But it's not a shrinking house. We do not have a house that is actually losing square footage.
The food. That would be crazy. The food is...
the food is disappearing.
Is disappearing. And the kitchen space to cook said food feels smaller. It all feels smaller. But anyway... And a king size bed feels really small when you have three little kids sneaking in the middle of the night.
In the morning.
We wouldn't have it any other way. But what we're saying is that we have been having the same conversations together as we have with our clients of, should we move? What should we do? We decided we're going to remodel. So we went and
did top to bottom.
Top to bottom remodel. We're talking everything, everything.
New kitchens, all new baths, all new floors, all new windows, all new paint. We put a new roof on it 2 years ago.
Yes.
I mean, like, for real, this is we're doing a big remodel. And our youngest C is every time we go over, because we're showing them the process, he keeps talking about the new thing that's broken. So right now all of the old floors are out and the house is very dirty because all the old tile was taken out, and he kept saying, "Mommy, floor broken He does not understand.
We're in that putting back period now, though. And our contractor is amazing. He's doing a really great job. And so anyway, we have our contractor coming in who we've hired, and
he's our professional whom we trust to do his job.
Absolutely. And you know, in this industry, I find there are three things that people want. They want things done quickly. They want them done really well to a high standard, and they want them done inexpensively.
Yes.
Okay. Some people would use the word cheap.
Yes.
I don't like that word. But anyway, so.
But you can pick two. You want three, you pick two.
You cannot have, you really can't have all three. So we picked time
fast
and quality.
Well done. That's what we picked. We picked fast and well done.
And that's great. And that's exactly what we are getting here. And that's what we hired out. And so, you know, being somebody who has seen a lot of homes, been around construction quite a bit.
For 16 years.
You know, even though, well, my grandpa was a plumber and my dad, some of you might know him, Ernie Guthrie down at Benjamin Supply Plumbing. You know, I grew up around plumbing, tidying up showrooms and cleaning up things. So I tend to think of myself as knowledgeable but dangerous. And so, you know, when it comes to construction.
True. That's a good way to put it. He is knowledgeable but dangerous.
Yeah. So, I mean, you want me negotiating contracts, but maybe not framing your walls. So anyway,
He's watched a lot of YouTube videos.
And that's how I learned to dance, and I get no complaints from you. So anyway, we are here. And we've got a bunch of walls opened up, and I'm really big on insulation. You know, insulation in any climate is important, and we're not just talking heat with insulation, we're talking air loss. So I really like sealing air. We've got all of the drywall open.
Everything's open right now.
There's all kinds of things, and I went to the store, and I picked up a couple of cans. I didn't tell my contractor this. I picked up a couple cans of this stuff called Great Stuff. And I've seen a lot of this. And when it's behind walls encased, it's good stuff. It's great. It's awesome. But anyway, so I got it. And I'm going around my house with this can.
Of spray foam. He has a can of spray foam. On a Saturday, we've hired contractors and he's doing this.
But my contractor knew when I came there with it. I said, hey, I'm just tightening up a couple of things, you know. And he's kind of laughing at me, but he's tolerating it. What's he going to say? You know, I'm the one paying for it. So I'm going around there and cleaning up my mess. I'm not really a great cake baker either, so spraying things in a clean line can be tough, but it's behind the walls. Who cares? Make a long story short, there was about half a can of spray foam, okay? And I didn't really know what to do with it. There were some texture guys downstairs, and I didn't really want to walk past them with this can of dirty spray foam that was leaking out. And we happened to have a wall upstairs that, you know, had a small hole in it, and I thought, what the heck? What's wrong? I'm going to put some of this spray foam.
An interior wall.
In this wall. Hold on. You didn't have to tell him it was interior. But I thought, you know what? Let's just insulate this wall. It was an interior wall. I don't know what I was thinking because you don't need to insulate interior walls like that. But I thought, what the heck? Thanks, honey.
You're welcome.
I'm gonna just empty this can out in here instead of throwing it away and wasting it. So I empty this can of spray foam inside of my wall. And put it in. It's our wall.
It's our wall.
It's not a client's wall. I wouldn't do this if I was selling the house. So I just empty the can in there. I leave. I'm feeling really good, confident. Go home. The next day,
we come by the house.
And Rebecca's like, "What happened to the wall?" The spray foam, I don't know if you know, guys, this stuff really expands.
It popped the drywall out of the closet. No, not a little bit. No. Inches, gap, pulled the whole thing.
Inches.
It did. It's huge. It's hilarious. It's like, I think this is hilarious.
So my wife's laughing at me. I'm feeling really embarrassed about this. And I call up my contractor and I say, good news, my wife will not let me touch spray foam anymore. I'm done with that. So you guys can go through and not worry about that. But here's the bad news. I created some damage. Add it to my tab. We'll get this thing covered. And make a long story short, I learned a lesson that when you bring a professional on, you hire them, let them do their job.
Yep.
You know,
and that's the moral of the story in any job.
Yeah.
Find your professionals, treat them well, pay them well,
right,
and let the professionals do the job.
And so when we have a seller, which we have sometimes, a seller saying, you know what, let me just talk to the buyer a little bit. Let me just handle a few things. Let me just be here. Let us do our job. We're going to come in here and take care of you. Speaking of that, if you need help buying or selling real estate, please feel free. Shoot us an email. thisopenhouseshow.com. thisopenhouse.com.
Yes.
info@thisopenhouseshow.com. Or shoot me a call, 520-406-4702. Shoot me a call, and we'll see if we can help you out. Have a great week.
Thanks for tuning in with us. We'll catch you next time.